Heavenly Father, so that that seed may be on good ground and produce fruit in the hearts of the believers. We thank you for the opportunity to know who you are, and we accept that our identity is only in you, Heavenly Father. We receive it in faith, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The last time I spoke about transition. Last year, the Lord used me to let us know that we were going somewhere. This church was going somewhere. There was a purpose and a destination to what God was doing in this church. Every hurt, every trial, every victory was predicated to get us to the point that we were at that point, right? And then after we spoke about that, Pastor Jeff came with a theme for this year, and the theme was to build territory, not only outside, but within. Before we can build anything outside, the work has to be completed in us. Amen?
Amen.
So, as he's dealing with the church bodily, he's dealing with us individually. And each of us have a promised land to a blessing attached to our need. So we each have a need that we have, whether it be relational, educational, monetary, health-wise. We all are looking for God to do something in our life. Amen? Are we looking for God to do something in our life? And the blessing is attached to a place, a destination. Like I said the last time I spoke, there is a process in the transition that prepares you for the blessing. God would not be a good father if he did not prepare you for the very thing he's giving you. Amen? You can't get the job of a doctor without going to medical school, because the minute you provided surgery on somebody, it would cause more harm than good. So in preparation for the promise, God has to deal with some things on the inside of us. And the very first thing he has to start with is identity. Because the enemy attacks your identity first. If you need any instance of this, the minute God declared that Jesus was his beloved son in whom he was well pleased, the very next chapter, the Holy Spirit sent them into the desert so that the enemy can test his identity. Right? If you are who the Father says you are, then do this. And much in the same as Jesus was our example, we must submit to the truth of the identity we have in Christ. Amen? But that's a promise. So, for the sake of our message today, our teaching for today, our thesis statement is, our identity determines our ability to be blessed by God. But when I say identity, we need to understand something, that identity starts with knowledge or information. We are inundated with words from all types of sources, all day, every day. You're listening to the radio, you're watching TV, you're listening to podcasts, and all of these things are vying for your attention to tell you who you are, right? They're all vying to tell you who you are and whose you are. However, it's up to us to determine the information that we hear, whether it's substantial or whether it's trash. The minute we take the information and submit to it, it becomes a belief.
My God.
The minute I take information and submit to the rules that dictate the following of that, I now demonstrate a belief in it. Practical example. Somebody tells me I have the ability to be an Olympic swimmer. The minute I take that information as truth, there are a set of rules I must follow if I'm going to become the thing I say. I can't eat what I want. I can't wake up when I want. There is a standard that my life now changes if I believe the knowledge that I received. Amen? That belief that I submit to. So knowledge puffs up, but belief forces submission. Because the very thing that I know, I now give authority over me. Information plus submission equals belief, but that's not it. What I believe, I do.
That's right. I do.
Hence, faith without works is dead. What I believe, I do. And over time, if I consistently do what I believe, it establishes my identity.
Come on. That's good.
What is my identity? How people see me and how I view myself.
My God.
So if I consistently do what I believe, now you see that very thing in me. But the problem is for us as believers, we think knowledge equals belief. They're not the same. I can know 30 scriptures, but it's not the scripture that I know that counts. It's the scripture that I submit to that dictates my belief.
That's good.
And many times, God will put us in a position in our transition to reveal to us what we truly believe. Because when the rubber hits the road, we're gonna do what we believe is right. So my question to you is, whose report do you believe? Because according to what you believe, it will establish an identity. And if that identity goes against the precepts of the Lord, it's going to be hard to be blessed by him. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now let's go to the scripture. Can we put Genesis 32 on? So before I go into this real quick, I want to show you the parallels between Jacob and us. This message is not for the unbeliever. This message is for the house of believers, because Jacob knew God.
Yeah.
But just because he knew God didn't mean he was submitted to the will of God. And it was in the path to receiving the blessing that he had an encounter with God that revealed what he truly believed. And much in the same, Israel life is in transition to a place of blessing, but we won't get there until we submit to his way. You can't have the gift and give the gift giver the directions on how you want to receive it. It doesn't work. You're going to have to decide if you want the gift or if you want to be in control. God is going to let you decide. But understand, the weight of the work is never meant for you to carry.
My God.
So there's a lot of us in church with a smile on our face now who are weary and tired because we're carrying weight we were never meant to carry. Again, the Lord sees your effort and he honors it and understands it, but there's a more excellent way. So, if we can go back to verse 22. So, let's give a little backdrop. Jacob has left his uncle's home with his two wives, and he's in transition to the place that God has promised him. However, en route to the place he's promised him, his past has caught up with his present. So the trickster has done some shiesty stuff with his family member that now he has to account for. So in his way back to where God had promised him, he has to address the actions of his past, or so he seems. And when he does that, go to 23. So what he does is what most of us do. When we've run out of all of the ways to figure out our issues on our own, we isolate. So God puts us in a situation where he's calling us to submit. What we do is we speak scripture, but in our own strength, go back and try to handle the problem on our own. And when we're done trying to, and when we've frustrated ourselves trying to do God's word in our own strength, we then become frustrated and isolate ourselves from the very people that can help us. Amen. I may just be talking about myself. If it don't apply, I can speak for myself. And in verse 23, it says, he took them, his family, the ones closest to him, the ones that could give him counsel, the ones that could speak a word to him. He took those people and he sent them across the stream. And he sent all of his valuables across the stream. And then what happened? Then Jacob was left alone. Isolation is a dangerous thing, man. When you are left alone with the very thoughts that got you in the situation that you're in and expect to get out by those same wicked thoughts, you are practicing, what is it, a lunatic? Insanity, thank you. You are practicing insanity. But glory be to God that he loves us in spite of ourselves. So the very first thing I want to let you guys know is God has not left you in spite of yourself, because it says right here, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. In the darkest part of your night, expect God to show up. You're thinking that it's over. It's not over. You haven't hit rock bottom. But when rock bottom comes, please believe me, God will be right there with you. He's faithful. He's faithful. He won't be with you for the second. The scripture says he wrestled with him until daybreak, meaning that he will be with you until the night turns into morning, until your sorrow turns into joy, until your weeping turns into happiness. He will be with you. But this is what you've got to understand. It's not only God's faithfulness that's going to dictate you getting the blessing. You've got to take some accountability into the actions. So this is the funny thing. The WWE might have altered the way we look at wrestling. The funny thing about wrestling is not about hurting. Wrestling is about submission. Meaning, you can be beat up, bloodied, and the fight isn't over. The fight is only over when you give up. When you say, I've had enough, the referee comes in, 1, 2, 3, over. This is what we've got to understand about God. God is spirit and he's all things, but there's a reason why he is the majority of the time identified as Father. Because we want God to be a mother. We want God to meet us in our circumstance, caress us, hug us, tell it's gonna be okay, wipe our boo-boo, say it's okay that you messed up, but he's not your mother, he's your father. And your father will meet you where you are, but always challenge you to go further than you are. So this is what you gotta understand about God. You waiting for God to kiss your boo-boo, and he's waiting for you to man up and woman up in order to get the blessing. How do you man up and woman up to get the blessing? The first thing you gotta do is commit to the wrestling. You gotta commit to the fight, baby. You wanna give up, but the minute you give up is the minute you give up the blessing. And you've gotta decide if you want the blessing enough. The race isn't given to the swift, nor to the strong. But he who endureth till the end. If God gave you a promise, you don't stop until the promise is fulfilled. Because if you stop, then that lets me know you do not identify with the blessing that he says he wants to give you. So when Jacob was alone, when everybody that he had depended on in the physical sense left him, a man with no name came and wrestled him and made sure that he stayed with him until the day came. What does the next verse say? And when the man saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the side of his socket. If I'm challenging you, the first thing I'm challenging you to do is to endure. The second thing I'm challenging you to do is to accept God's love. God is your father, not your mother. And in Hebrews, it says, he chasteneth those whom he loveth. And if he doesn't chasten you, he has no part with you.
My God.
So you waiting for him to hug you, but the hugging ain't gonna get you to the point that you need to be. You got to understand, it was a battle of wills. And in your stubbornness, you're fighting God because you want it to be your way. But it can't be your way. It's got to be his way. And God is a gentleman, so he will not force his will upon you. But what he will do is destabilize your life so that you realize who's really in control. Have you ever been in a season where everything that can go wrong went wrong? And it was so divine that you had to stop and be like, God, what are you doing here? This isn't man. Like, I could have lost the job, and I lost the job. And then when I lost the job, I went to my car to get in to look for another job, and then the car wouldn't start. And then when the car wouldn't start, I tried to take a bus, and then I tripped on the sidewalk. And it's like, Lord, let me stop and find out what is going on here. It says he touched the socket of his thigh. Now, I can tell you more than anybody that the socket establishes your stability. The socket establishes my ability to maintain my balance against external pressure. The minute my socket gets out of line, my ability to stand is affected. I love the word, in other versions it talks about dislocate. This word touch, what it means is to uproot the normal. So you fighting with the Lord, and the Lord is like, I'm trying to bless you at daybreak, but you're wasting time because you're placing all of your foundation on something that can be broken in the twinkle of an eye. So I'm not going to deal with your pride. I'm going to deal with your perception and show you the truth. And I'm going to uproot what you think is stability so that you understand your fragility.
Jesus!
I'm going to uproot all of those things that you've been doing in secret when the rubber hits the road. I'm not here to judge, because Lord knows there are things that I've done in private. But what you do during the fight lets you know what you're submitted to. Because belief plus action in the time of need establishes identity. You can do the right thing all the time, but when it gets to the drama, you don't gotta tell me nothing. Your words are speaking louder. Your actions are speaking louder than any words you have to say. Don't tell me anything. Let me see how you act when things don't go your way. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you believing? Or are you looking for escapism? Are you looking for a way to avoid the pain? Your perception is off because you've got to accept his love. And he chastened those whom he loved. You're accepting God's love in a carnal way. God's love is not always going to feel good. But the scripture says that all things work together for the good. For who? For those who love him. It is going to take a responsibility and action on your part to receive the hurt as love from the Lord. Because this is the truth of the matter. You have a choice. You can get the blessing or you can be bitter. And I'm going to show you how God is a gentleman and gives you the option. And he touched the socket so that the thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with it, while he was still fighting for control of his life. And what does the next verse say? And then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." The breaking always comes before the blessing. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he took the bread and the fish, and he prayed, and he looked up to the Father, and he broke it, and he blessed it. And if he never broke it, it would have never been sufficient to feed the 5,000.
My God!
So now, he's uprooted Jacob's whole stability and place the action and the responsibility back in Jacob's hands. Now that I've hurt you, I'm giving you the opportunity to let me go. Because in verse 24, it says that God came to wrestle with him until daybreak. So we know what God's gonna do. He's faithful. He's gonna be there until the day breaks. He's giving you the option of whether you wanna hold on to him. Are you allowing hurt to stop you from receiving the very thing you've been praying for? What kind of sense does it make to be in the struggle this long, be this close to the blessing, and allow your pride to walk away from the very thing that you're asking God for? This is what the flesh will do, y'all. The flesh wants instant gratification. And what the enemy will do is tell you that God doesn't love you if he's causing you to wait. But let me show you a scripture really quick.
My God.
Let me show you a scripture really quick. Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews 10. Can you put up Hebrews 10 for me? Yeah, I'm gonna take my time. Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36, please. Good things take time, y'all. If you want a good relationship, it's going to take time. Yeah. What we need to understand as believers is time is on our side. We are always in a rush and a rush and a rush. Why? Take a step back and realize our ending has been established from the beginning. What are you in a rush for? If the gift is promised, and he is a good father and won't give it to you until you're prepared for it, understand if you haven't received it yet, you're still in preparation. Do not allow the enemy to tell you God's love is predicated on your timing. And what does it say? So go back another verse for me. So he's talking to this church, and this church has been abused for their good works and what... and I don't want to go into a deep thing. Some people believe that Peter wrote it, but nobody's 100% sure. So we don't know the author of Hebrews. But whoever wrote it says this: "For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. In your doing good, you got evil in return." knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. If we have nothing else, we have Jesus, right? Now watch what the writer says. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is your great reward. Why? Next verse. For you have need of endurance. You want it to end, and God is saying the very thing you need in order to get the blessing is endurance. The longer you're waiting, the closer you are to the gift. So that when you have done the will of God and not of yourself, when you have submitted to God's way for the thing that you desired and not your way for the thing that you want or the person that you want, when you submit to the gift giver's will, you may receive what was promised. Let's go back to Genesis, please. Where are we? Genesis 20, where are we? 26? It's okay, we're on a tape delay. No, we about to wrap. Can you put Genesis 32 on there for me? Verse 26. There we go. Then he said, let me go, placing the power back in your hand. Let me go. It's your decision whether you're going to love me or not. I've told you my purpose. My purpose is to wrestle with you until the day comes. But I'm giving you the option to let go, because love is a decision. And he chooses blessing over bitterness. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Isn't it crazy how before his hip got broken out of socket, he was wrestling with God? But the minute God destabilized his situation, it went to holding on to God. Won't pain humble you? Won't pain humble you? The pain of God is so divine that when it hits you, you know it's nobody else but him. Because this is the kicker. It says that he simply touched them, and the touch dislocated him. Shouldn't that encourage us that if God be for us and he uses his strength against the enemies, if a touch can dislocate my hip, what will the strength of God do to the enemy that we fight? It's so crazy that in the pain I can still find a way to worship him. Yeah. Hear me. In the pain you can find a way to worship. Why? Because I feel his restraint and his touch. The touch dislocated, but his love kept them from pushing my whole hip away. Wow. His grace and his mercy is sufficient. How I acted was deserving of death. But he didn't give me what I deserved. Even in his chastening, he gave me grace. And gave me the time to realize my mistakes. Let me go, giving me the option. No, I'm not going to let you go, because in my pain, I've realized you've become my stability. Hear me. You want the blessing. The blessing only comes in the stability of the Father. Proverbs says, an inheritance given too quickly is not blessed in the end. Y'all keep looking at the blessing, not realizing it's God's hand that blesses the very thing that you want. No God's hand on it, no blessing. My God. And in his pain, he's realized, I have no stability without you. Saints, if you get nothing more than this today, our identity has to be established in the security we have in God. Our identity has to be established in His providence and His provision for us. Next verse. I'm almost done. Now let's get to the crux. Now let's get to the equipping. How do I get the blessing? We get the blessing based off what we identify with, right? So now Jacob makes the decision to not let go of God until he receives the blessing from God. And look at what God asked him. What is your name? Now, my theologians in here, they already know that Hebrew tradition was when a child was born, they didn't get named until the eighth day because they wanted to see the character of the child before they named him. So Jacob was named Jacob because when he was born, he grabbed the heel of his brother, and that caused them to call him Jacob, which means supplanter or trickster. This is, okay, let me give the principle and then I'll explain it. God wants to deliver us from the influence of other people. Before he can bless us, he has to deliver us from the opinions of people. You know why? Whoever you give the authority to have influence over you has the power to control you. So, this word in the Hebrew, it means not only name, it means identity. But not only does it mean identity, it means what makes you famous. How do you see yourself? And how do others see you? How has other people's opinion of you shaped how you see yourself? What trauma have you accepted as the thing to identify you? What broken person's opinion? Because hurt people hurt people. What hurt person's anger in your direction have you allowed to identify who you are? What tragic relationship with somebody that God didn't call for you? What battered words did that person say that you've allowed to come in and identify you? Because this is the key. He doesn't ask what other people are saying. He's asking, what do you say about yourself? What have you allowed to penetrate your heart? I was raped as a child. This is who I am. The devil is a liar.
Yes!
Because when God comes, he comes to give you liberty. But it's a choice. Whose word are you accepting? Because the word that you accept has influence and authority over you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's up to you to accept the liberty. What's your name? What are you using to identify yourself? What are you speaking about yourself that doesn't fall in line with God when nobody's watching? What derogatory things are you saying about yourself? When things go wrong, what are you blaming yourself for that is not even in your power? What are you doing to hold you back from getting the blessing? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. What death are you speaking over your life? What is your name, church? And he responds and says, trickster. That's what made me famous. That's why I'm in this situation in the first place. I took my brother's birthright. And now in my mind, because my mind is off, I think he's coming back to get something that I took from him. So if we can fast forward, Esau ain't thinking about him. Esau's not thinking about Jacob. Jacob's perverted mind has him thinking that Esau's thinking about him. But the Lord had already established enough for Esau in the beginning. But he was too busy depending on his own self and not to the submission of the Lord. Meaning he was in a fight that he had no business being in. But this is the goodness of God. He will entertain our foolishness in order to prepare us for his righteousness. And he said, trickster. Next verse. And God said, from this moment forth, your identity shall no longer be trickster. It's no accident this shit came to me for this church. But your name shall be Israel. Why? For you have wrestled with God and with men and prevailed. What is he saying here, saints? He's saying you wrestled with me and submitted to the truth of who I am. And you wrestled with men and resisted the opinions of them because you submitted and found your identity and establishment and who I say to be. And you've prevailed. If you want the blessing, whose word are you going to receive? If you want to know who you are, there is a book that gives you every blessing and promise and every answers every question you might have to who you are, and your identity is established in whose you are. If you want to know who you are, you got to first know whose you are. You are a child of the Most High. You are a redeemed sinner. Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, given an eternal resting place, equipped with gifts, made to be a leader, made to be a witness and a representation in this world. We're so busy identifying with the things of the world that we look like the world when we're trying to change the world. How are you gonna allow God to deliver somebody hurting when you're believing the hurt in yourself? Saints, it's here. You know why it's here? Because he's here. Because he's here. You've striven with God first, and you held on. And you've striven with man, and you kept your identity. And when you've accepted who you are, whose you are, and the endurance of coming to the revelation of both, then you're ready to be blessed. Amen. When you understand who you are, then whose you are, and you've endured until you've gotten the revelation for yourself, not to tell Pastor Jeff, not to tell anybody else, but when you've accepted it yourself, because we're our harshest critic, and we rather believe the lie than accept the truth. But the devil is a liar. This church is heading somewhere, and where we're heading is to a promised land where each and every one of us will be blessed. If we wouldn't be blessed, what's the sense in striving? We might as well be out there living a world like everybody else. But isn't it sad that those of us who know the truth live a life the same as those who don't know the truth? Because we'd rather believe the lie than submit to the truth. But it won't be in this house. It won't be in this house. What does the next verse say? Then, then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. Please tell me your name. You've been asking me all these questions. Who are you? But God said, why is it that you ask my name? My actions identified me without me having to say a word. You knew who I was by my action. Hence, if you want the blessing, follow the example of Christ. Because this is the kicker, y'all. When we submit to the identity of Christ, it's no longer us working in the name of Jesus, but it's God working through us. And when God works through us, it produces fruit. And when that fruit is produced, others see God working in me and identify me based off of the work that God is doing. So when I'm in the kingdom, I don't even get judged according to who I truly am. I get judged according to the power that's working in me. This is how the community gets saved. Stop trying to do God favors, y'all. He don't need your favors. He needs a willing vessel. And when he asks, "What is your name?" he says, "Why do I need to tell you my name?" He blessed them. When the revelation of who he was fighting, who he was wrestling with came, now you're ready for the blessing. And when he received the blessing, this is my last verse, I promise. And when Jacob received the blessing, look what it says in the next verse. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Saints, the trial and the tribulations we are going through is not to kill you. But if you let it, it'll allow you to see God face to face. And if you submit to his will, you'll receive the blessing. Not because I said it, but because it is impossible for God to lie. But in order to get it, you've got to submit and you've got to allow the Spirit to work through you so that you can identify with the gift giver. Yeah. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Frank? Bless. 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 So, I want us to be real and transparent. I'm not trying to call anybody out, but everybody's trauma is different. And some of us have been carrying trauma for a long time. So what I'm not about to do is discount the trauma. But what I am about to do is what the Lord said at the beginning of this sermon. Show you a more excellent way. The weight that you're carrying is not meant for you to carry. And there is liberty in Jesus. But he's a gentleman. He's not going to take from you what you can willingly lay down. So all I say is that the altar is open. I'm not asking you to come down. This is between you and your Father. If there's some weight that you've been carrying and you know that he's called you to have more than you have now, do the work and prove to yourself your identities in Christ and let go of it. You've been holding it too long. We're not about to allow the world to dictate who we are anymore. We are children of the Most High. If we never do another thing, our inheritance is secure because of his love.